Hope you guys are ready. I'm going to be doing something I haven't done before. I'm going to preach the Word of God here. And I kind of wish I had your energy, Dan. I feel like, you know, that's the beautiful thing about the Lord. He gifted us all with different things, you know. He gave Dan this energy that, man, I feel like with two kids and you're a grandfather, I'm like, man, how can I get that one? But I'll tell you what, the presence of God is strong, and that's where we find our oil, that's where we find our refuge, that's where we find our strength, amen? So even before I start, I just want to pray real quick over us and over myself, actually, if that's okay with you guys. So why don't you just join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I just invite you here right now even more, God. I know you are here, you're with us, God, but I need you, and the church needs you. We need your oil, we need your touch. We need your anointing over us, God. God, enlighten us, overwhelm us, God, like you have been so far, God. Inspire us, God, through your word. Give us strength to carry on, to move forward, to press forward. Give us courage to take a risk. And remind us that you are with us through it all. That you have begun a good work and you will finish it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Yeah, I really wish I had the energy of Dan right now. But it's okay. God is with me. And I truly feel like he has anointed me for tonight. I know that sounds bold, but I believe it's true. And I think, and I know, that he has anointed you and Emmanuel Church as well. It's in his word. So let's dive into it. We're going to read out of Luke 4, verse 18 through 19. So if you have your Bible, please open to Luke 4, 18 through 19. A beautiful passage. And actually, when I was preparing for this, I saw the date that it fell upon the 28th, which is tonight. But we're walking into the Passion Week this week, right? And I was reminded of Matthew 26, when Mary anoints Jesus right before. And I've been thinking about the anointing for a while, and I've been thinking about the oil, specifically anointing oil. What does that look like for my life, for your life, in Jesus' life, for Emmanuel Church, and for your family? I truly believe that if we recognize and give attention to this, that we can have the boldness to have testimonies, that we can have the boldness to worship and go deep and not just play church, but be the church. So there's power in that. So verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. And this is beautiful because this is a reference. Jesus is saying this. It's a reference to Isaiah 61. And he's fulfilling a prophecy. And what's really cool about Jesus is the anointing oil followed him his whole life. You know, we have baby dedications like we had this morning, right? And we bless and we pray over the baby. Well, if you guys remember when Jesus was born, the wise men brought myrrh. And then right before he goes to be crucified, he's anointed again. All throughout, he is touched and anointed. And if it's important to Jesus, I believe it's important to us. Amen? So I want to talk about a couple things. What is anointing oil? One thing it is that, and by the way, I'm a little old school. I actually did this for Fratele Gog, because I always want to do this. You know how every time he's done, you know when he does that. But anointing represents one who is chosen by God, one who is set apart. It also represents the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it represents a purpose, a vision, and a calling. And we see that because Jesus is anointed several times. Even before his ministry, you guys remember in Luke 3, a dove descends upon Jesus. And then he goes into ministry. But we all see the good side of that, where we think, He started his ministry and it was all easy. And he immediately goes into the desert, right? So when we think about oil, usually we think about it smells good. There's power behind it. You think of victory, right? There's a lot of times in the Bible where, sorry, the sound guy in me has to move that. You think about David and how he's anointed, right? And you think about the victory with Goliath. You think about different things. He's about to become a king. But I think tonight, one thing that we're going to touch upon is that oil has a cost, but it's for a purpose. The purpose is Jesus. And the reason why there's a cost is because, not that it's expensive, but to create oil, the olive has to be crushed, has to be put under pressure, just for a bit of oil. And that's a representation of the church. Yes, we're going to have victory. Yes, we're going to have, we have peace through Jesus. Yes, we have so many good things in front of us, and he will take care of us. But it comes at a cost as well. And that's where the beauty of the paradigm shift happens, where we get to be the ones who get crushed in the secret place, in our prayer closets, through time of worship. So we have moments like when Dan was talking about, when the opportunity came up, you don't just go, I gotta go. The Holy Spirit can't talk to you because you are full of the oil, full of the anointing to hear the voice of God. And I believe that's so important for our church, for our families, and for us individually. Amen? So I'm going to talk about three things tonight. Classic. Three-point sermon. You know, you can't go wrong. I was thinking about tonight. I was like, should I just, you know, go inspirational? Should I go heavy? Should I go deep? But, you know, I've listened to so many sermons in this church growing up, and I can always count on Pastor Gulk's 3 points. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go there. His sermons were anointed. I'm gonna try to figure out how to get that too. But I'm going to talk about the authorizing presence of the Holy Spirit through the oil, the protecting presence of the Holy Spirit, and the appointing presence of the Holy Spirit. Authorizing, protecting, and anointing. And, you know, what is that anointing oil? You know, we do that every year or so. You know, remember just recently for New Year's we had that? It's a beautiful time where the church comes together through the front and we pray, and representing the touch of God, we get the oil usually on our forehead, or, you know, some people do a cross, some people do a circle, some people do different things. But in the Old Testament, they would actually take a jar of oil and they would pour it on the head. Now, how many of you are thankful you don't live in that time? Can you imagine what would it look like over here if we had to pour a jug of oil over everyone's head? But oftentimes it's an act through smearing, rubbing, or pouring out. And it was expensive. These days you can go to the store and get an olive oil, jug of olive oil, and it's a couple bucks. But back then it was worth so much. Why? Because, for example, I looked it up, just to make a liter or a pint or a jar of olive oil, it took over 5,000 to 8,000 olives to be crushed. And that was a lot of manual labor back then. It was not an easy thing. And it had an aroma, but God chose that it would represent his presence. It represents the presence of the Holy Spirit. And all throughout Scripture, if you look and you read, for example, when David was anointed, it says that he was then filled with the Spirit. He was accompanied by the Spirit. And the other thing about it is that it's actually a holy act. You know, you can't be anointed and be living in sin, right? You can't be full of God and be living in sin. It's a call to holiness. How can you cultivate oil? How can you go deep and get oil? By living a holy life and seeking holiness. But that's the thing about oil. You have to keep an eye on it. You have to keep your attention for it. You know, you can't just, you know, we get saved and then we think we're done, right? Because we say this one thing, I say it once in a while, but it's like, when you get saved, it gets your friends who are not saved mad at you. But when you get anointed, it gets even your Christian friends mad at you. Because then you start praying more, you start reading more, you start seeking God more, you start talking about holy things, and it takes away the lukewarmness of Christianity. Because it calls for deep, it calls for more, it calls for time spent in the dark where no one can see you in your prayer closet at home. It calls for preparing so when the time comes and you are at a gas station, like both of our testimonies, that you can recognize immediately, this is a moment where God has ordained. And I'm going to step into that calling. I'm going to step into that anointing. Amen? So authorizing. How does it authorize us? Jesus is authorized and anointed to do specific things. This is what I love about the passage in the scripture we just read. It says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recover of sight to the blind, etc. There is a purpose and a vision behind why Jesus was anointed. There is a purpose for, I believe, our church, why we're anointed. There's a purpose for your family, why you're anointed, and for you individually. I believe that it goes further than just a pastor preaching. You know, they don't have a different Bible than us. I realized that this week. The pastors don't have the extended version, and we just have to wait for the word. We have to be in the word constantly. This is the source of the oil. The presence of God is the source of the oil. So oftentimes, growing up in this church, I remember that people would just come to church, and I would just come to church and just wait for a good word to feel good or to get encouraged for that week. And maybe you're coming here that same way. But I challenge you tonight, as you hear the word of God, to go deeper, to ask God, do I need the oil, and why do I need the oil? And if so, ask for the oil. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's a renewal of the oil, to be filled with the presence of God, the Spirit of God. Amen? But not every good thing, like the oil, is a God thing. So it is a holy act, right? In Exodus 30, you guys might know the story of Nahab and Abihu. That's in Leviticus. But in Exodus 30, I've been helping the Jewish temple here that is on our campus and in our property every week with their stream, every Saturday morning. And I get that going because they can't meet, you know. But what's nice about that, a hidden treasure for me, is that I get to hear them and how they go through their ritual. And they have the most, man, we are so blessed to not go through 2 hours of, they go, page 37, read this. And they go for 2 hours and they just do the ritual. But we get to worship the King in freedom, with authority, with the presence of God here in this place, right? But in the temple back in Exodus 30, the anointing oil would actually make things holy. You know, the priests would go and anoint every bit of the temple. They would touch something, they would smear it on something, because that's how necessary it was. And actually, holiness is necessary for us to access heavenly things, because it was the Holy of Holies, right? And they needed to keep that a very special place. And in Leviticus 10, we have Nahab and Abihu. Now, I don't know how I'm going to get to this, but Nahab and Abihu, they were priests in the temple. But they did something, and you guys can look this up, but they did something where, even though they came from the right family, the Bible says they came from the right family, they even had blood from their time at their commissioning, at their ordination, that it was even put on their ears, on their toes, on their fingers. Like, it was such a consecrated people. They're sons of Aaron. But even they messed up. They went before the Lord in the Holy of Holies, and they presented a fire that wasn't pure and holy to the Lord, because they thought they could just do what they... You know, when you get saved and you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit and you're not in tune with God, you kind of, if you're not careful, you start falling back into your old ways, because sin is tempting. Holiness is not tempting. Holiness takes work. It takes a lot of work. There's refinement in that fire, right? And even though they had all the perfect setups, they had the right last name, they were from the right tribe, they had the perfect ordination, they had all the right things, they went before the Lord, and they offered a fire that wasn't pure for him. And guess what happened? They got burnt up. The Lord consumed them. All the right things, only for one slip up. That's how heavy it is. That's why we need the oil to keep ourselves pure. How many of you guys have ever been burnt out? Right? How many of you guys know that when you're under the anointing of God and you're in His calling, in His purpose, in His vision, burning out is not as easy. It doesn't come as easy. But when you start doing everything else, and let's be real, us Romanians, Romanian Americans, we love to stay busy. There's like 5 ministries, and guess what? We do all of them. And then we find a 6th one, you know? And then we get tired, and then we get burned out. And that's the problem that we have. I love Jesus because He goes, hey, let your yes be yes, your no be no. We've, as Romanians, we've kind of like got used to the yes be yes, but the no be no part, we're like, that's okay. But there's a truth in that. And as I was actually talking to someone this afternoon, and when you get overwhelmed, when you get burdened, when you get exhausted, usually you have to kind of realign yourself with the Lord and say, God, what am I doing that's outside of your will? Because that's one of the reasons why we're burning up oil that we've had in reserve for a while. Speaking of cars, we kind of treat oil like that too. You know, every 3,000 miles, you're supposed to get an oil change, right? Different kind of oil. But that's how we treat it. We go, I'm going to get filled up, and then I won't think about it for 3,000 miles. I won't think about it for 3 months. And sometimes, a lot of us, we don't do it until we hear the engine go, and then we go, uh-oh, we got to do something. Well, that's the same thing with us. If we're not paying attention, if we're not seeking God, if we're getting stuck in comfort, or we're getting too busy, if we're becoming Marthas who get too busy and don't see Jesus in front of us, then we get burned out. We can get sick. We can lose passion for His word. We can lose passion for ministry. We start getting apathetic. Hasn't that been something that we've noticed in our country and even our church? Let's be a little honest tonight, in the last couple years. Why are we apathetic? Why are we not diving into the word? Why are we not on our knees worshiping and praying? I'm not saying do performance, but the love for the Lord, because you're so close to Him, you're so drawn near to Him. You seek the oil, the presence of God. You seek the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I would just encourage you with that. Guard your heart and time. Stay focused on the Lord. The good thing about focusing on oil is that you have to keep your perspective open. You know, what am I wasting my time on? What am I spending my time on? What has God authorized? If I am truly His hands and His feet, if I'm His hands, like Aaron was saying earlier, what are my hands doing? And if they're not anointed for something, like, why are they doing that? It's a constant reproach, constant back to it. God qualifies and authorizes. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, Samuel goes to anoint David. But no one knew this yet. And it says, when they came, which is actually funny, Samuel comes to Jesse's house, and he's looking to anoint the next king, right? You guys know the story. But everyone was actually freaking out when he got there, because they knew when a prophet, a holy man of God, showed up, it was either something good or something like very bad. But he said, no, I came to do something. And so he called the whole house. And it says, when they came, Samuel, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And that's David's oldest son, Jesse's oldest brother, Jesse's oldest son. How many of you are thankful that God chose you? And not because of what you look like or because you had the right last name, because Jesus died for all our sins, amen? God chose you and me, even though we weren't perfect, even though we weren't what everyone thought of. Look, now you guys know me as the guy behind the soundboard. Thank you, Jesus, for Peter, so I could do this, you know? You guys, I led worship at this church for a long time. I was on the kids' play for a long time. I never thought I would do this. And even now, I'm kind of just trying to, you know, Lord, you've anointed me. You've blessed me. Speak through me. Because once you start kind of looking at yourself and thinking about all the things you can or can't do, you realize you can't and you shouldn't even be on the list. But God said, Jesus said, I've chosen you. And when you said yes to him for the sacrifice that he made on the cross, you've become part of his family. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. Even a prophet can sometimes see things through the eyes of his own or her own self. That's why it's important to have the oil. Because God can correct, and when we're in tune with that, we continue. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Thank you, Jesus. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. God is looking to our hearts right now. He's looking to your heart, my heart, our church's heart, your family's heart. And he's saying, do you love me? Do you miss me? Are you before me? Or are you busy and rejecting me? You could be a Christian and totally reject God because you spend no time with him. You can go to a party and not even talk to the host. You can be at church and not even know that the presence of God was here. To be that, we're just, David was overlooked. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21 and 22, this is how we know that we have been anointed. So anyone that thinks that they're not the special one, because you know, usually the anointed one is considered the special one, right? We've heard that in our church many, many times before too. But actually, if you're a believer and you're a son or daughter of Jesus, our Father in heaven, you are anointed. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has also put a seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Thank you, God, for the seal upon our lives. Thank you, God, that you came down and paid the ultimate price to die for us so that we may have communion with you, relationship with you, and eternal life. But he's put a seal upon us and given us his spirit. But see, sometimes some Christians, they get focused on the seal and they forget about the Holy Spirit. You guys, I don't know if you remember, but we're a Pentecostal church. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people might think that we're doing who knows what. We're not. We're reading the word. We're looking for oil. We're hungry for God. We spent, just so you, a little update, we spent, and a lot of you guys know this, but 8 months during a time when COVID hit us and we could have easily canceled church, and we went for the oil. We were hungry. We went before the Lord in prayer. We consecrated ourselves before him, even though it could have been so much easier to enjoy family time. A good thing. Family time is a good thing. Please take time with your families, but take time with your Father. And we did that. We spent months and months. And one story that kept coming up to me was the story, the parable of the 10 virgins with oil. And this is why it's residue from that, because I kept getting stuck on what is the purpose of the 10 virgins seeking oil? And why was it so important for Jesus to be anointed and to declare that he's anointed? If he had oil when he was a baby, and he's God himself, right? He's God and man. If he is God, why does he need anointing? And why does he tell his disciples, what Mary is doing is a good thing. She's preparing me. He could have been like, no, I'm fine. I've been anointed. I'm good. I'm so good. Please save that money and buy something worthwhile. And he said, no. This is a very, very good thing. She is preparing me for the final act, what he was about to do on earth, right? But the 10 virgins, they all had a flask, or they had a jar, or they had whatever the thing that they had, and they all had oil. You guys, we all start, when you say yes to Jesus, how many of you guys know that your body becomes a temple of God, right? We know that in the Word. And we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But why is Jesus talking about the ones who kept on the oil and the ones who forgot to check on the oil? If he is the groom and we are the bride, and he's looking for a bride that is in fullness, full of joy, peace, love, all the fruits of the Spirit, and full of oil, what are we missing? Is it enough just to come to church? Is it enough just to say your prayers, but at home, you do what you do? You know, oftentimes, there are ladies and there are people and there are just people that seek God on their face day in and day out. And they dig and they look and they spend time for the oil. And they're belittled by people. But the Bible tells us to go after the oil, to spend time in his presence in prayer. They should be an encouragement to us that thank God there's a well somewhere in this house that's looking for it. Thank God that there are people that are praying. There are people that are crying out. This morning, I also had the opportunity to pray for a young person because the grandmother said, I want you to pray for my grandson. I want you to pray for my grandson because I don't even know if he was blessed or not. Oh my goodness, to have people that want blessing of God, to want people that want the oil of God on their kids and grandkids, what a powerful statement that is. And we often overlook those things. We think, oh, that's just, like you said, Dan, I'll just pray for you. I have an issue, oh, I'll just pray for you. But action follows. Action comes from the overflowing of the Spirit. Action comes from the overflowing of the oil. Action comes from being in tune. And guess what? The oil also gives you energy. I need that energy, man. The Spirit of God does give you energy because when you're doing stuff that keeps you exhausted, like when you're overdoing what's not part of your calling, you get exhausted and burned out. But when you're in tune with the presence of God, he can give you energy. I've heard so many stories of even a lot of preachers, but even our own preachers and pastors. I mean, Father Legault told me many times that he would go to Spain or go to different places and conferences, and he would preach all day, 16-plus hours a day. We could barely stand and worship for half an hour, right? But when you're under the anointing and the calling and you're fulfilling the purpose of God that he has for your life, he gives you strength, strength beyond what you think you can do. We need the oil like Peter had the oil. Peter was talking about Jesus in Acts chapter 10 in 38, and then I'll skip to 44, but he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God, I need you with me. Jesus, we need you with us. So we can have moments where we see an opportunity for your kingdom to invade the darkness, for your light to invade. Amen? In 44, while Peter was still saying these things, I love it. If you just preach what God is doing in the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. His word and his spirit is for everyone. I love that we're actually going through a series on Thursday nights where we're talking about racism, we're talking about oppression, we're talking about mindsets and cultural mindsets. It's so good for us to have those kind of sermons because oftentimes we get stuck in bubbles, you know. And I thank God, and I just want to publicly thank the pastors of this church and the leadership for these services. I know they're not full yet. I know they're not overcrowded yet, but we have an opportunity to preach the Word of God so we can reach all the generations, we can reach all the nationalities, we can reach whoever God will bring in this place. Amen? Amen. That's such a powerful thing. For too long, we've had the Word of God, and we've kept it. We've kept it. What's the point of the Word of God? To be hidden or to be placed up for all the world to see? And I thank God that we still have a church where we can preach in Romanian on Sunday mornings, we can preach on Thursday nights, but we can also go forward on Sunday nights and get to evangelize to our brothers and sisters that maybe aren't Romanian. I thank the Lord for you guys, just so you guys know. I've seen you guys. I appreciate you guys coming. I bless you in Jesus' name. And I say thank you for being part of our R&D. Maybe we're not the most professional yet, but we're hungry for the Lord, and we want to see his kingdom come. Amen? The second point, he's protecting. The oil is the protecting presence of the Holy Spirit. And I like that in Philippians 1, verse 6, it says, be confident in this. I touched on this earlier, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, if that doesn't give you encouragement and hopefully some of Dan's energy, I don't know what will. That whatever you've started and whatever God has said yes to, keynote, yes to, that he will finish. That he will finish. Why we need the oil? As I was researching more about the oil, and at Resurrection, at the youth group, we had actually been talking about the different names of God. And one of the names of God was Ra, the shepherd, right? Well, I was researching the oil, and back in the day, I mean, even now, but more back in the day, because shepherds were more obviously popular. That was a more popular job description back then. These days, you can do other things. But the oil would be used for several things. And here's a practical thing. Shepherds would take oil and pour it over the sheep. Pour it over the head. And I was actually just sharing that with Debbie not too long ago. They would pour oil over the sheep's head because there would be bugs that would go into their nostrils or their eyes. How many of you guys know that we need the oil poured over us to get rid of bugs? The bugs would go into the sheep's head slowly over time. And eventually they would arrive at the brain. And the brain then would slowly deteriorate because those bugs would eat away. And they would start to go mad. They would start to hit each other in the head. They would start to hit their head against rocks or the ground. And eventually they would even go blind. Why do we need the oil? How many of you guys know that when you have friction with a brother or sister, you need oil so you don't go mad, so you don't hit heads? Too often we hit heads, we bump heads. Then we start going blind to see the hope that is Jesus because we get so consumed and caught up. And Jesus, I pray for oil over each person that we would be cleansed, holy, pure before you, that we would see what you see and not what we see. But we would see that you have all things and that you will finish what you started. And even when it seems like it's the end, God has it. The hardest thing with faith is trust, because faith is a risk. Faith to take a risk and say, let me come to your house and pray for your daughter. How many of you guys would have that boldness? Man, I love that story. Thank you so much for sharing that story. It gave me courage before I came up here to go, you know what? I'm going to go for it. I'm not going to hold back, because I want to be able to say that I took a risk. I want to be able to say that I went forward because the Lord had anointed me, not because I was afraid of what people thought. I was afraid of the bugs that would get in my head. I was afraid of all the voices that would get in my head and stop me from preaching the word, preaching holiness, preaching purity, and preaching that we would be a generation that would go after God with fullness, with authority, with power, with protective spirit, but with a depth that we wouldn't just worship three songs and go home. That when the Holy Spirit falls and the presence of God is near, that we would be able all to be in tune with that. Because the whole purpose of anointing oil and you being so close to the Holy Spirit is that when the pastor does get up on stage and go, hey, we're going here, you guys are like, hey, Jesus, we knew you were about to say that. And we've all been ready. We've been praying. We've been preparing. We've been sowing. We've been charged. We put on our armor. We're ready to go. Instead of needing a pickup every 5 minutes. The protecting presence of the Holy Spirit through the oil. Because we, Christians, we need to eat more. Like today. We've been so blessed. Thank you, ladies at the kitchen. I want to say a special shout out to my mom. I know. She has a Martha's work ethic, but with a Mary's spirit. I know. It's not the Romanian custom to praise someone, but, you know, let's just change a couple things. But we need to get ready to eat more spiritually, not just physically. We've had weeks and weeks of just feasting, but then we're too tired to come to church. Sorry, guys. The oil should convict as well. Why should we eat? I know it sounds bad. Why should we eat? Because in Psalm 23:5, it says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows." To get to the point where we eat in the presence of our enemies, Jesus, help us. Help us unlock that. I know me, okay, look at me. Why do I stay slim? Because when I get stressed, I don't eat. How many of you guys don't eat when you just get stressed? Or maybe the opposite. How many of you guys eat when you get stressed, you know? That's part of our human nature. But David here says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." We need the oil to overflow so we can find the joy even in the toughest times, even through a transition. We need oil. One thing that I love about this church is that it was always a church that went for the oil. We might not have said it all the time, but we went deep. And I thank the Lord for leaders that started many, many, many years ago that went for the oil, went for the presence of God. Even though they got hit upside the head and they got told what to do and what not to do. Because how many of you guys know that we're not called to be critics of oil? We're called to seek oil. But I see it often. You know, I get to sit in the back a lot, so I see it often. I get to see how when someone preaches or someone sings, it becomes an American Idol story for you guys and for me. You guys, we need the oil to purify ourselves so we don't become like the world. Show me what you got. Show me what you got. Next. Nope, they're not anointed enough. Next. He tried, Saraku. Poor guy. You know? It takes a lot of work to prepare what Andrew did this morning and share a word that does not come natural to you. I read this word, and I've read this word since I was a kid in English. But then for him to go and say, and encourage the church to pray in Romanian, that's tough. That's tough. But all of us go, oh, man, Saraku. Or we say, he did a good job. He made me happy. Is that the purpose of the oil? To make us happy? Just to give us a little pat on the back and to say, see, the Romanian church doesn't have a future. It does. It definitely does. God has not forsaken or forgotten us. His promises are yes and amen. But God is doing a new thing too. God is also doing a new thing too. It's both and. It's not one or the other. It's not one or the other. It's not, I like this service, and I don't like this service, and I like that guy, and I don't like this guy, and I like that pastor, and I don't like this pastor, and why is this pastor here and not that pastor anymore, and all this stuff. Since when have we become critics? Are we just on American Idol, just go, oh, that guy's great, let me vote for that guy? Or are we going, that guy's anointed, that girl is anointed, that lady is anointed, that prayer warrior is anointed, I'm going to go, and I'm going to pray, I'm going to go and listen, I'm going to go hear the word. I want that worship team to keep going and not stop because they are anointed by God. Because if we're not eating in the presence of our enemies, we start getting, oh, wow, it's already 52. Thank the Lord. If we're not eating, we start looking at our circumstances and we start getting stressed out. And I don't know what you're going through in your life, but I'm 100% sure that the enemy is not sleeping. That's his job. But we have a greater God. We have the light of the world in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and we have the seal of God upon us. If you find yourself stressed or lonely or depressed or an addiction, you have to ask yourself, where is the oil? You have to ask yourself, where's the oil? There are many, throughout history, I studied a ton of pastors and a ton of preachers and evangelists and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of them started off amazing and even had 10, 20, 30 years of awesome. But many of them, at the end, fell. And the question is why? Because you can't ride on residual oil. You have to dig and ask the Lord every day, renew, renew. Psalm 92. If you can put up Psalm 92, why do you need the refreshing of the oil? Because some people say that you got it once and you're fine. Go and live your life. But a consecrated people of God that go after the oil look like this. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. David was anointed when he was young, a young teenager, and he didn't even become king until 20 years after that. And yet here in 92, which is when he's way older, he says that you have poured over me fresh oil. And here's the cool part. Later in 13, it says, they are, actually 12, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. Hey, that's the reason to come to church. They flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. 15, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Why? Why do we need the oil, the fresh oil, to sustain us through our life here on earth? Because God has called you, has called me, has appointed you, has anointed you, and is protecting you for a purpose and a calling. David had a full life by the time of his death, and he was a joyful man. He was always up and down. So look, if you're up and down and you got like waves, don't stress. God is with you, because what he started, he will finish. But go after him. Go after him. Don't think that just because you had a good week and a bad week, then all of a sudden you can go back to your addiction. That you can go back to your old ways. That you can just forget about Jesus and what he did on the cross and the oil that you need to be going after all the time. The presence of God. That when he is around, it's so tangible that you are aware. And I love it. So the pointing. How many of you guys know that when you're anointed, it doesn't always mean you start? You could be anointed as a young person and then just take your time, because Jesus even had to grow in stature and favor with man, right? It took David 20 years. I'll be 34 soon. And I'm preaching my first time in church. God can do anything, okay? It doesn't have to be at 15, 17, 19. I don't have the right pedigree. I don't have the right story. I went and I did worship. I went and I did sound. I went and I did studio work. I went and I did amazing things. But this was not on my list, but God brought it. What has God called you to do, and what has God anointed you to do? Stick to that. Trust in that. Look for that. God can do anything with us if we wield to his will. Amen? 20 years of process. 30 years of Emmanuel Church. It's a process, you guys. Don't underestimate the process. Have faith. Have hope. The God is with Emmanuel. He is with us. But we got to go for the oil. We got to recognize the presence of God. We got to honor the presence of God. Honor the ones who are faithful. Honor the ones. Honor each other. When you honor that and you teach your children that, guess what, man? The youth group is easier. When you do that, Sunday school is easier. Parents, when you are looking for oil and you're in the presence of God, more than likely your kids will stick around. And more than likely they'll be here leading worship, and they'll be in the pews praying, and they'll be preaching the word of God. Keep at it. I'm just trying to encourage you. I know it's tough. It's tough to hear sometimes. But the biggest thing that I had 10 years ago when I was doing youth ministry a little bit more heavy was, it wasn't It wasn't the young people. I expect young people to go around and look around and try to find some joy in other places. And that's the whole point of being a youth leader, is to say, hey, what you're doing is not right. Come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. But what I would find often is that the parents would not encourage their youth to go to church. Oh, you want to play video games? That's fine. Oh, it's okay. That guy's preaching. I don't like that guy anyways. Or, let's go to that church instead of this church. Or whatever the thing is, the excuse that you are now you're providing in that young person's life a culture that is not after the oil, but is after your heart of what? And then you get shocked. Well, as long as they go to the American church. No way. I want everyone that I grew up with in this church with me on our knees, praying, seeking God, and feeling his presence on our face, going out and touching Anaheim for Jesus, going out and preaching the gospel and making worship albums and all that stuff, encountering a world that is lost, and we're here because we have the answer. Because the whole purpose is to worship Jesus. I'll end here because it's there. Everything about the oil points back to Jesus. Everything about the oil. Everything about the oil points back. It's for us to develop in a secret place, yes. To gather oil, yes. But why? For the purpose of pouring it back out to Jesus. To worship the King of Kings and to serve the King of Kings. And to serve the King of Kings calls us to serve the body, calls us to serve even those that are lost, to be in the compassionate ministry. Thank God that we have a compassion ministry in this church, that we're doing something for the lost. Thank God that we have people going on mission trips. Thank God that we have people going out to other churches and leading worship. Thank God that we have that kind of culture. The whole goal of oil is to point back to Jesus, to be like Mary, and recognize that the King of Kings is in front of me, and I have stored up all this oil, all this precious time, to pour it back out. And even the religious people, they'll say, why are you doing that? Because that's a lot of money. Why did you waste so much time in prayer? Why did you spend it all in one moment? Why did you pray for that person? They're lost anyways. God is calling us to deeper places, church. I'm praying that the oil touches you personally right now. Every person that hears this touches you personally. But I pray that the oil then carries on and touches your family. Because a healthy family produces a healthy church. And then I pray that the oil overflows from your family into the church. Not the other way around. Everyone wants to come to church and fix my kids, fix the youth, fix the young adults, fix the old people, fix the young people, whatever it is. Everyone wants somebody to fix someone. Everyone likes a one-hit wonder. Everyone likes a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not like that. It takes a price. The oil takes price. Discipleship has a price. Spending time with your family in the presence of God is not comfortable. But as Andrew says, awkwardness is holiness. Amen? Inside joke to some of you guys. But no, in all honesty, we need the oil. So as I said, the oil is authorizing. You and me are authorized to preach the gospel. You and me are authorized to love on the world. You and me are authorized to grow this church. You and me are authorized to love one another, to not bump heads. Get the oil from the Lord. Be in the presence of God. Be in tune with the Holy Spirit when things like that come up. You know what to do because he will protect you. Amen? He will protect you. And then you'll start eating in front of your enemies. Think about how calm you have to be in the chaos of your enemies to be like, that's some really good steak or whatever you want to eat. And then the last thing is it's for the appointing. It's for a time. Ask the Lord, what is my time? What is my calling? What am I here to do? And if I'm here to do it, let me not get distracted. What my yes is yes, and my no is no. Jason, your yes is a yes. D, Dana, your yes is a yes, but you have to make a yes every day, right? The same way to the Lord, yes every day. So I'll close with that. I'm going to pray actually over us if that's okay. Why don't you just close your eyes? Jesus, I pray that all throughout this room that our yes be to you. God, that we seek your face and we go before you and we go for the oil. We need the anointing to cover us, to be with us, for ourselves, for our family, and for this church, for the leaders of this church, for the worshipers of this church, for all who are attending this place. God, I ask for an extra measure of oil tonight. God, I pray that you would fill us again, and remind us constantly to go before your presence. We love you, we honor you, God, and I pray that every word that I said was pleasing to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.